If you have kids or grandkids aged anywhere between about 5 and 20, you've a window into the problems facing Generation Z. They're the most likely group to be unemployed, and they have a host of other problems. But could it all be our fault? With me today, Carolyn Olchin, Vice President of the Career Development Association of Australia. Carolyn, our youngsters are the most likely group to be unemployed, as I understand it. They've got no experience by definition, but on the other hand, they're also likely to be cheap. So where's the problem?
Well, they are meant to be cheap, as you would imagine. However, just like many of us got that opportunity to gain experience in volunteering roles or in the plethora of jobs that we all had as first jobs, working in fast food or working as checkout people, etc., etc., our young people today don't have as many of those opportunities as they previously did due to technological advances, AI, jobs being granulated, and it's that critical thinking and those higher level skills that are required rather than the general kind of basic work.
So you're saying they just don't have sufficient opportunity now to work in a bar or to work in a cafe serving coffee and so on?
I'm suggesting that there are less opportunities than there used to be in those spaces, certainly, and that opportunities around social and human capital building, so, for example, volunteering, need to be ramped up in relation to helping young people build the skills, build the reference list, get the opportunity to actually enable them to get the experience that in the good old days might have been scored at McDonald's or scored at the local bakery or wherever.
No, you're right.
I was going to say as well, when we look at those first jobs, those basic jobs, that's where often many other generations have been lucky enough, and I say lucky, it's also been problematic, to get some really quite blunt feedback around work ethic, around hours, around expectations, and they've had to do some of the dodgy poop kicker work, if you will. I think in today's environment, it's around enabling our young people to ask for feedback rather than being given feedback automatically, because in today's land of diplomacy, political correctness, it may be easier to give somebody less hours and not give them critical feedback than it is to actually help them develop the skills necessary to be successful in the world of work.
Because of course that's right. They might ask for feedback. I suppose some of them do. But the only kind of feedback they want, in my guess, is confirmation that it's a photo finish between them and Albert Einstein. That they're all God-struck geniuses and they've got the elephant stamp to prove it. And to suggest to give somebody honest feedback, which by definition would contain negatives, the next step would be that they're unable to carry on without psychiatric counselling, or in some way you've been offensive or abusive or you've offended them, or they couldn't possibly work there ever again, and you just bring down a whole world of pain on you, the employer, don't you?
Well, what I would say is that it is really important in 2019 to frame feedback in a way that is going to cause positive change in whoever you give that feedback to. If it is framed as straight criticism, or if it is framed as you're doing it wrong, it's not actually helping the person that is getting that feedback to improve or develop. When we're talking about building up a sense of innate resilience, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Phil. All of us need a really strong level of resilience. And certainly our young people have, in many cases, had wonderful helicopter parents that have protected them from risk and protected them from failure. However, when we think about failure, if we entitle it as an acronym and we go first attempt in learning, it is through failure that we find where our learnings need to be. And when it comes to critical feedback, if you haven't had it very often in your life, it can be very difficult to take. And when we're talking about that, learning how to give and receive feedback is a skill that I think many organisations need to develop, and young people also need to build their resilience, because I think we all know that it's through feedback from our role models, the people around us, the people we respect, that we will actually grow.
So does it make sense for most Generation Zers to go to university, or maybe not?
Well, I think it depends tremendously on the human that you're talking about. In some circumstances, a human may have strengths in academia or values around learning or values around understanding. Other humans, and I have worked with a range of these as well, have very different values around practical values, getting things done, making money, learning, but in a practical or an environmental sense. When we think about career influences, we're not just looking at what you're good at or why you do something. We also need to look at the people and the environments that those humans are in. I mean, Phil, I'm 40. I can't turn around tomorrow and say, I want to be an astronaut. It's just not a physical possibility. I'm 40. I live in Brisbane. I've got two young children. It is an impossibility for me. So boundaries around our expectations on what careers are available are really important, as is understanding that our context, our socioeconomic background, the environments that we're used to being in, our cultures, our genders and our ages all impact on career decisions.
No, wait a minute. You're saying you can't aspire to being an astronaut, which makes perfect sense to me, but that's not the messaging that I think we're giving young people. The messaging we're giving young people is they can do anything. There are no barriers. Keep persevering. If you want to be president of the United States, just think you will and never give up, and you'll be president as quickly as possible. Isn't that the messaging we're sending them?
I think that we need to qualify that message, and qualify that message with, you need to know yourself well and you need to know what's available. Because if you don't have a good understanding of the massive number of jobs that do exist in the world, and you are imagining yourself in the one of 30 that you know, that's a problem. Equally, if you lack self-reflection or you lack the capacity to understand that you are good at something or awful at something or how you are perceived, then you are going to minimise your opportunities.
So New South Wales numbers show that most Generation Zers want to work in arts and entertainment, even though these industries will create just 4,500 new jobs in the next 5 years. What's going on here?
Well, I think it's really interesting. When you look at the amount of social media that our Gen Zers get, the reality is they have been opened up, or it has been opened up to them, the number of jobs that do exist in media. However, they are not getting career information around the number of jobs. Like, if I turned around and said, I'd like to be a youth development officer for the local council, that's not a job that ever comes up when you're wandering through school in year nine as being an option. So those social opportunities or those helping jobs or those areas don't actually pop up. So when a stat like that comes out saying they all want to work in entertainment, every single company that I'm aware of needs a media profile, needs a marketing profile, etc., etc., the same way that every business needs an accountant. There's nothing wrong with wanting to work in that space, but there is a need to understand the wide breadth of jobs where your skills and interest in that area can apply. Whether you're working for a skincare company or you're a botanist or you work at a university.
But you can see where the problem lies. You know, you've been telling me I can do absolutely anything and the sky's the limit and I must never give up and whatever I want I can do, and that I need to do something that's I can be passionate about, that's fulfilling, that's absolutely grand and romantic in every possible way. And then naturally I conclude I'd like to be on television, or I don't know, perhaps I'd like to be an astronaut or a handful of things that are really glamorous and exciting. And the truth is most of those jobs contain openings for a tiny number of individuals. Isn't that reality?
I think certainly one point I'd pick up on in what you just said is the fact that oftentimes there is a real message of follow your passion. But passions change. And my favourite song 10 years ago isn't my favourite song now. And what I wore 10 years ago isn't what I wear now. Passion can be transient. I also think that for our young people, oftentimes they may have a great job where they're using their skills and they're getting positive feedback from people surrounding them. However, they may have been given a higher than realistic perspective on what they had hoped to do by the age of 25. Oh, I wanted to be the CEO of Google. And that can really impact on a young person and their mental health, because they see themselves as a failure, even though when you consider it in perspective, they are definitively doing well.
All right, Carolyn, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. I've been talking to Carolyn Alchin, Vice President of the Career Development Association of Australia. Carolyn, thanks for talking to us today, and we'll certainly catch up again.
Thanks, Phil. Much appreciated.
And finally, I suppose